This is a stand-up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
How's it going, folks? Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things every week that make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
Hey, first of all, I don't know if I hit it at the same time every week or if it's like a built-in thing where that it just like, because it's a fade out and like it doesn't like play a thing on any of the other clips, you know, when we play that thing, but it always ends with that little right? You hear that, right?
It's just your muscle memory at this point.
I don't think it is, though, because I'm definitely not that careful. Like it's just a long audio clip, right, Shelby? Am I like...
I've re-added it.
Sorry for like...
Shelby's
been
gaslighting.
Well, it sounded... No, but it like, literally just
you
sounded like it.
You timed it very exact.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it does get re-added in post.
Okay, well... still, though.
It just, we just play it for us.
I was talking about in here, though. That's what I... Okay, well, look. Sorry for derailing.
Now who's gaslighting?
I was just making a nice observation, and never mind.
Wow, Patty's walking out of the room right now.
Yeah,
he's gone. He quit the podcast.
I'm pulling the mic with me as I walk out.
He's down on like he's on the subway with the mic right now.
We have these long robot arms that we can use. So hey guys, what's going on?
You know, it's Tuesday. Tuesday night.
It is Tuesday.
Sure is.
Tell me about it. Oh man.
Don't I know it?
Getting ready for Wednesday.
Yeah. We were, you know, it's the day after Monday. You know how that goes. Classic weekday observation.
I always liked Tuesdays. I always feel like Tuesdays were like a good day.
They're not bad.
I don't know. I like them. I feel like there's a lot of good comedy shows on Tuesdays.
Yeah, there's like, it's hard. It's weird in New York because a lot of times I feel like weekend's the one someone's like, I'm coming up for the weekend, what's a good show? And I'm like, there's no shows on weekends.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you're like a famous person.
Yeah,
good luck doing shows on the weekend.
Yeah, go to the LOL lounge. Like, now you have to go to Times Square. I don't know.
Yeah.
To Caroline's.
It's like to do a show, no idea. If you're going to be staying overnight or late on Sunday, go to the Knit, I guess. I don't
really know.
But you're probably on your way home already by then. So,
go to the Knit. But it's also like, usually like, if it's like family, friends, or somebody, I can't tell them to go to the Knit. It's like, hey, you're 60, you want to get crammed into like the sweatiest room in New York for 4 hours?
Do you want to definitely get called on
by every
comic?
Yeah. I love them.
My parents always feel weird when they come because they like, my parents, they're pretty like, they have good taste. They're like, they're into hip stuff. So they stay in like North Brooklyn, like Greenpoint, Williamsburg, and then everywhere they go, they're like, we're the oldest people here by like 20 years,
and it
makes us feel very uncomfortable.
Maybe not Bedford, almost not even anymore though. It's like it's all babies now.
Yeah,
it's all just babies in their own society,
like
no parents.
I feel like they feel when I'm in Bushwick, honestly.
We're the oldest people here that aren't speaking Polish or Yiddish. That's it. Everyone who's our age is not speaking English.
Anyway, we have some updates.
Yeah,
Previous stories.
A couple updates on a couple classic items from the past couple weeks.
Classic 2 week old items.
Instant classic. So Necco wafers, the shitty candy that we were dunking on for a while that was going to be going away. And that crazy lady,
discs.
That crazy lady like sold her car, remember to buy a bunch of them?
I was going to make a joke about dunking on Neccos, like could you dunk them in anything? But then I realized if you dunked them in something, they would dissolve because they're the worst candy in the world.
And then you like fuck up whatever you dunk.
You ruin the thing.
You dip it into milk and you're like, well, all of this is bad.
I have to throw all of this in the trash,
that's actually
including
what,
the glass that the milk is in.
Pepto-Bismol is just milk with Necco wafers broken up into it. Just happens to help with indigestion.
Yeah, my tip.
That is what Necco wafers taste like.
Yeah, well, they're good news. You can keep tasting them.
So that,
they're
going to
keep making
them. That lady sold her car, definitely doesn't regret it, because some venture capital firm is spending $17.3 million U.S. dollars.
They're going to take a vowel out.
What venture capital firm is embarking on this fucking venture?
Roundhill Investments, LLC, a firm run by the billionaire C. Dean Metropolis.
No.
Excuse me?
No, absolutely not.
It's true.
C. Dean Metropolis.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah.
He wants to make it so Necco wafers are the only candy. Yeah. He's a super villain.
Maybe these guys also own Circus Peanuts. I'm trying to think of other shitty stuff. Yeah. We make all the worst
crap.
I just immediately think of Gil, like, style. He's like, he's got it this time. And then he comes back. He's like, I did it. I got everyone's favorite candy, Necco wafers. And it's like, everyone hates Necco wafers. Oh, no. No.
Yeah. You know. So they also made those shitty candy hearts everyone gives each other that nobody ever eats. They just like say stuff on it.
It's that Lewis Black joke about candy corn. It's the same ones have been going around for decades.
Yeah, yeah.
Because no one's ever eaten them.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just one CEO or like creator with just awful weird taste, and like every candy they bring to him, he's like drier, chalkier.
And then,
this is just for the venture capitals. Like, he's just a quirky guy, and that's what he eats, and that's the only reason he bought them out.
Yeah, and then the candy buttons they also make. This is the portfolio these people are buying now. So the candy buttons are the things where you get to eat paper.
All the shittiest candy.
Yeah, and then Clark bars, which is like, I guess, like one of your weird like neighbors would give you for Halloween. Like, here's your Clark bar.
That's
like
a bottom row vending machine mysterious item. You're just like,
Clark bar?
I have never had one of those, but it is there if I so choose.
It's like, well, technically candy, it's not like Fiddle Faddle or like a fucking apple or something.
Right? Fiddle Faddle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a neighbor give Fiddle Faddle.
Fiddle Faddle or like Divinity.
Divinity
is like sugar. It's kind of like halfway between meringue and fudge.
Okay.
Yeah,
your hand movements weren't helping.
I know. It's like really sweet. There's usually like nuts in it. It's like a taffy.
Oh, it's one of those old like.
It's like a southern thing.
Or that, I listened to again, like that Paul F. Tompkins peanut brittle prank can bit. It's very good.
Sir, you fooled me twice.
Yeah. I just want to see, I mean, I feel like this is almost has been done or something. Just, yeah, like a Willy Wonka remake of this fucking shitty candy factory. There's like a waterfall of chalk.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, gross.
None of the kids, like the kids win, like their parents win it, so they don't want to go. It's like, oh my God.
You got the golden wafer.
Yeah, I got my iPad. I'm just going to stay here. Kids don't care about this stuff anymore.
They try to do like the creepy ride on the cart, but all the kids are looking at their phones and it's like, no kids, it's spooky.
And they're all like coughing because there's so much just like dust in the air. Because every candy's made it is just like so dusty, they can't breathe.
Wow, that's the paper the candy buttons go on.
The famous paper.
And the candy buttons are just like drips from like a thing. Like that's, it's just all very,
They're like, he tries to do the same test where he's like, whoever gives me the candy back at the end is the new, but everybody's like, yeah, you can absolutely have this back. Like within the first 5 minutes, like, you can just have this. Actually, I don't want it.
No one's getting turned into a blueberry at this. Everybody is making it out just fine.
That's right.
And then at the beginning, instead of him going with his grandfather, his grandfather's just dead. He's like, I got a golden... Oh.
That took a turn.
His grandfather... No, the kids have to go with their grandparents.
The grandparents want to go. Yeah.
We cracked it. That's the nobody steal that idea. This is proof that we had the idea, and you have access to the idea, so if you do it, you're committing copyright infringement. So that's cool. My advice to the whatever it is, the Stapleton Round Hill Investments LLC.
Dean Metropolis.
Gene Wilder would play him. It's like a weird dystopian children's book.
Yeah.
Like, see Dean Metropolis. Dean oppresses workers.
My advice is flush him down the toilet. There we go.
Boom.
I actually thought you said that.
Trying out the new soundboard stuff we got here. So
we got some good ones.
Yeah, we got this one.
Uh-oh. I'll make up for it now.
Classic.
Whenever someone's joke doesn't
land. My favorite moment and one of my favorite things. All right, so let's keep moving. We got the number two item here.
Not an official number two, a number two within the intro.
We
can't say ever say numbers.
Lowercase Roman numeral two.
Yeah.
B. Let's say A and B.
Item B.
the famous millennial who would not leave his parents' house.
Say his name.
Michael Rotundo.
No, say his shorter name.
Rotundo.
Mike Rotundo.
Mike Rotundo.
He left the house finally. He lost the court case, but as some of you may have seen, he was on InfoWars within a couple days of when we said it.
Someone sent me a message the other day through my website using the pseudonym My Crotundo. Yeah. Which I really enjoyed.
Well, that was like iTunes, I think, of Discord, was which is good, just over like Mike Rotundo. Yeah. Very fun.
Mike Rotundo.
So he's moving out. Like the Billy Joel song, only more depressing, I think.
Yeah.
He doesn't work. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't work at Mr. Cacciatore's because he doesn't work. He works on a website business.
Right. He works in the business industry.
I work in the website business.
The money was spent on expenses. Okay.
Put that on my fucking epitaph.
As far as things to expend money on, you can't beat expenses.
You can't. Yeah. It's a solid, practical use of money.
Pretty clear line item right there.
I'll pay you back. A lot of my money's tied up in expenses right now. I gotta move some stuff around. Yeah,
move stuff.
Paul Giamatti trying to pay me back.
I don't know. That was just a nervous.
Yeah,
man.
Well, I will never pay. All right, yeah, well, we got to...
Paul Giamatti could play him.
I don't know. That's weird stunt casting, I guess. I'm 30 years old, and my parents just kicked me out.
I mean, age difference is not any different from, like, when in Glee, where it was, like, 40-year-old guys were like, I have a lot of trouble geometry. Just, like, the oldest people.
Yeah. Well, so apparently this guy was on moving out, and there was a little bit of a dispute, I guess. Somehow being evicted by a court did not somehow heal their relationship. He called the cops on his dad because his dad wouldn't let him go in the basement to look for his son's Legos.
Which, as Patty mentioned, does sound sad that he wanted to go into the basement to get his estranged son's Legos. But I countered with, that's not why he wanted to go to the basement. Like 0%.
Yeah, if no, was he was like, what's the saddest thing I can go get?
He's gonna be like, my son, stuff is down there. And then he just locks the door and he's like, no! He's never leaving again.
Well, he did leave to be on InfoWars.
Yeah.
So he did take some time out of his busy basement dwelling schedule.
Yeah,
that's what his parents should have done. They're just like, hey, you're on InfoWars today. And then they just change the locks and he can't get back in.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird. Solved. It was weird to watch this one become a big enough story that it like... spawned like the takes, you know, where it's
yeah.
like, don't make fun of the millennial who can't leave his parents' house. It's actually a symptom of all of us.
Okay,
or whatever.
I won't make fun of the phenomenon of millennials not being able to leave their parents' house. I will make fun of this specific
right, this
millennial.
Guy. Right. Yeah. Like, I don't, you know, I mean, like, I don't want
to. Do chores. Like, do something.
Do something. Yeah. Don't work. Don't spend your money on expenses for your website business. I'm sorry. I don't feel bad for you.
Right. And so I guess we have a video clip here. I mean, I'm not sure what exactly we're going to be looking at here, but we got to.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Do you ever think this day was going to get here?
Yeah.
So how you feel?
Great.
Where are you headed?
Off to an Airbnb.
Airbnb?
That's
dude.
So expensive, man.
Yeah.
I will say that we don't need a phalanx of reporters interviewing this guy in his driveway, in his parents' driveway. Like, does the world need to know about? Like, that's. I will admit, like, this is not the kind of story that really necessitates. Like, this is more covers than like the guy who like stopped the shooting at like the Denny's guy.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Or the Waffle House. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, do we need? Does anybody really need like this? You know?
Yeah, it takes all the fun because the fun part of it is watching him in court.
Right.
Like,
right.
This is now is just a video of a man moving out of his parents' house.
And he's like, it's like, you know, I
wish I had press covering me when I moved out of my parents' house.
But that said, he also went on InfoWars, so kind of fuck him, too. I mean, like, I don't know how much they paid him or whatever. I hope they paid him. If they didn't pay him, I don't know what the hell.
Paid him
in
fucking pills.
I bet they didn't pay him.
They paid him in a brain, galaxy pills or whatever.
Exposure to the fucking worst people.
Yeah, exactly. You're getting paid in exposure. If you start a Patreon, the worst people in the world will pay for whatever it is you do. I don't know. As long as you have the right. All right. So, hey, that's that. Hopefully this guy, we don't hear about him again, I think. That's probably.
This is probably it.
That's probably to everyone's benefit. I can't see any good
country
news stories if this guy comes
out,
up again. Yeah, exactly. You know.
He's going to start the alt-right Squarespace.
Everyone is an
oh, wow.
Well, we got, we're going straight into it. Our guy.
Operating on your timetable, bro.
What if I'm just a regular guy?
What if you're just a lazy bum? Maybe you are just a bum.
Oh, so Alex Jones yelled at him.
Mean to you. You got to get out of the comfort zone, like you said, and just do little things. Just get a job.
Little things.
Not based on the fact that I need to have a job.
You do need a job. You do need a job.
People need income.
Who is that guy?
You need a job to support your kid.
You described on air and off air that the court basically found you incompetent.
That is a reasonable characterization of what happened.
But he's getting like dunked on InfoWars.
Yeah.
if you won't get out of your parents' house.
All right, now I hope they paid him.
If you won't do the things it takes to get stuff done.
In your okay. own community.
I feel like...
Oh, both of these felt mean.
These,
okay.
yeah. these cuts are also really weird,
yeah.
right?
Like, is that's this like, a, the well, InfoWars YouTube channel?
This is a compilation,
channel?
I think.
Everything about this is like Tim and Eric-y, like more than usual. But like, who was that one guy who was there for like a second?
I don't know.
I don't watch InfoWars.
I don't want to know. I'm...
He's like a little toad who sits in like a room with like a Roman... I mean, I assume he's some alt-right asshole just
he's
based
like
on
the
that.
He's like the salacious yeah. crumb of Alex Jones.
Is he the guy who like a six-year-old girl told him to go fuck himself and he was like, oh, real nice? Was it that guy?
There's like a crew of them. Yeah. There's like a crew of correspondents that all.
Yeah.
I try to avoid it as much as I possibly
oh,
can.
Oh, no, I definitely agree.
I think that's like the most I've seen since the Alexa one, which was
yeah.
just a classic.
I mean, this guy could be like the American prison Paul because like he's got the shut-in thing.
Yeah.
You know, just get a map behind you, you know, and is there a got one right there? But he needs yeah. to be more antique looking.
Get a black and white photo of you smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, and then just talk about stuff in a country you've never been to and just have a lot of opinions on how they should manage their shit. I think that sounds good to me.
I think yeah. this is a career right here.
This is a grift.
This is his job.
That's it. So
just get yelled at by different people on the
hey,
internet.
Rotundo, if you're listening, man, just think about it. All right, that's all I'm trying to say. All right, well, why don't we get things moving here? Now that we've kept you updated on the stupid stuff, the pep out, cool. I hit it and it doesn't go. Oh my god.
Number five.
We did it. Good job, guys. Guys, number five is a classic tale of folly and woe, I will say. This takes place in Denver, Colorado, at a Denver nightclub called Mile High Spirits, which seems bad.
Pretty generic.
It's pretty generic.
You're in Denver, all right.
Yeah. So there's an off-duty FBI agent who was just going fucking ham in the club, just having a great time at Mile High Spirits, cutting a rug, doing flips, all kinds of shit. And lo and behold, he still has his service weapon on him. It falls out of his pants, and when he goes to retrieve it, yeah. it shoots someone watching him.
And not in a holster either.
No.
In the back waistband of his pants. Like, yeah.
In the back of his, tucked into his belt while he's doing like the fucking like worm in Mile High Spirits tasting room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's like, it looks like they're in like a yard almost, right? It doesn't look like ground. It looks like grass.
Yeah. Maybe they're on a patio. It looks like someone's backyard. Like, it's weird to me that it's even a bar.
Is it a wedding?
No. Not based on everyone else's dressed. Multiple people have their phone. First of all, a lot of people don't move. If I heard gun, I'd be out of there, I think.
Also, like, I will, even before the gun goes off, people are not impressed.
Right.
Like, no one wants this man to be dancing.
Right. They're all just kind of standing there holding their drinks. He
pulls out all the stops, goes for a backflip.
Yeah. He does, and it's
he
like,
lands it.
Yeah. He does, like, the weird wiggle knees thing, which is not very, like, it's not really a dance
He's
move.
Doing, like, a 1920s like Charleston
exactly.
thing.
He also like, if this was on top of a flagpole, I'm impressed. Okay. Otherwise.
But he also does the thing where after the gun has gone off and he picks it back up and puts it away, he does the double hands up like
whoa,
my bad
sorry
and someone was hit
yeah
we should say that someone
yeah he had to go to the hospital he got shot in the like in the shin
yeah. You get shot anywhere I wouldn't be pumped about it I wouldn't be like yeah it was my foot it's not like someone burned you with a cigarette by accident
I didn't say that to diminish what this man has been through absolutely not I do like that the nightclub said that they were praying for the victim and that he could enjoy complimentary drinks forever which I appreciate
seems like a fair
yeah that almost seems
it's
like one of those
it's not their fault but yeah
I do wonder if this man is from Denver because if you've ever gotten drunk in Denver, it doesn't take long.
Yeah.
Because
of
the altitude.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe he, you know.
Yeah. Well, maybe just don't get drunk when you don't have your service weapon not in a holster.
Well, that. I mean. Yeah.
There's a lot of things.
There's a lot of things wrong.
I love this. The first of all, the headline is very funny because it starts off like a heartwarming thing. Like, dancing FBI agent. You know how there's like those things where it's like cop gets in breakdancing contest. It's like, gun accidentally fires, injures bystander. It's like, okay, that took a turn after I thought it would. Isn't as silly as I thought. Although the guy's fine, so
it's
whatever.
Weird to me that also all the news stories said that he was an FBI agent, but also said that they didn't know who he was. Like, he just got identified today. Which, I mean, I guess, like, the cops knew who he was and everything, but
that would be like the whole...
funny to me.
it should be part of it, right? Shouldn't it be hard to find out? I guess, I don't know. I guess you asked for his ID or whatever.
But it was in all the news stories.
He was probably telling chicks or whatever, right? I mean, like, this guy doesn't seem like he really... I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you have this kind of job, like, you would think your propensity is to be kind of careful. Probably, I mean, on balance, right? I'm not, like... Most FBI agents are fucking nerds. They're like, they look accounting stuff, you know, to like find like financial crime. They're not like running around like shooting terrorists or whatever. So like, you would think this guy. I mean, yeah, you have a gun, but then you have to carry it. But he's not dressed up.
No, he's off duty. He does not have to carry a gun.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I still feel like in my head, maybe it's TV shows, but like FBI agents, like off duty FBI agents, is like a looser tie. This dude's in like fucking like DC skate shoes. Like he's just got like Osiris's on, just dancing at this wedding.
I mean, I think it's safe
to
say
it's not even a wedding. It's just a bar.
Sorry. I'm convinced it's a wedding in my head for some reason.
Well, I feel like at a wedding, it's almost like, not that it would make sense, but it's like the vibe I'm getting from this video is that he is way drunker than everybody else. Like this is not a celebratory thing where everybody's having fun.
Right.
This is a very drunk man doing a backflip and then shooting someone.
I don't know all gun safety training, but I'm pretty sure that when you pick a gun up, they're not like, grab it by the trigger. Pick it up by the trigger. Cause that he like sets it off. I do. The other thing about the guy getting free drinks though, is that's funny to me. Cause that almost seems like one of those like, would you rathers you do in a drunk bar, or be like, hey man, if you get shot in the foot, but you drink forever for free, would you do it?
Well, depends on if that guy's from Denver, because if he's not, it's like,
I gotta move to Denver now.
He's like, well, I'll just move here. Money-wise, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Financially, it is a wise decision.
I'm spending like $100 a week. Yeah. If I just go to one place for the rest of my drinking days.
Imagine if he's sober.
As long as it doesn't close.
Imagine if it was a sober dude. They're like, you get free drinks forever. He's like, I don't drink. And they're like,
cool. How much club soda as I want?
Yeah.
Can I get a club soda with bitters?
Can I get a club soda with bitters and then a stack of Necco wafers to wash it down?
Yeah. Do you guys have food? Does that count as part of the... food does not count.
Yeah. I feel like they're like, oh, we got shot in the foot, but I feel like the foot is a terrible place to get shot because a foot is like a bundle of bones.
A lot of bones.
Oh, yeah. If you can't, I mean...
A lot of tarsals.
Yeah, like everything else is pretty straightforward.
Your foot's fucked up, you can't walk. I don't know if you guys have thought about this.
What?
If you know this.
No.
If you've heard the news.
This is like
your foot's messed up.
This
can't walk.
This is like the Itchy and Scratchy where he's looking at the newspaper and says, you need a heart to live.
Classic.
My foot. I think a funny bit to do if I knew this dude and we were really good friends so I could do this sort of bit is like, oh, yeah, I got a shot in my foot. And I'd be like, oh, is it the one you used to jerk off? Like, just funny to me.
I'm still thinking about that time that you said I jerk off goofy.
Oh,
I still
think
that's really funny.
Left-handed?
We were talking about which hand we jerk off with. And
no, she just says, yuck, a lot while she does it.
But I'm a lefty, and apparently if you're a righty, if you use your non-dominant hand for that, but you use the other hand for everything else, Eli coined the term.
You jerk off goofy.
You jerk off goofy.
Yeah. You know? And then if you, I don't know what the equivalent of Mongo is, but
what
that's
is Mongo?
The other one. Mongo is when,
seems like it's coming from an offensive place.
Yeah, I don't like Mongo.
But, so like the same way that Goofy is like that you're, you know, the opposite
goofy
way
is,
on a skateboard, Mongo is when you push with your front foot instead of your back foot.
Okay.
So I don't know. I guess that's if you jerk off like
Patty is looking very
under your
suspicious.
Leg.
No, that's I vaguely
if you go around from the back, that's
yeah,
Mongo.
Yeah, if you go around from the back, that's jerking off Mongo.
Jerking off Mongo is what gets you fired from a community service job.
God
that almost
it.
Seems worse.
That's way worse.
There's somebody at a community service job named Mongo.
Isn't that from Something About Mary? Doesn't he say one of the kids named Mongo? Wasn't that? What
I don't know.
I don't know. I've never seen that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, everything I've heard from it has never seemed funny.
It's hard
including
to
including that most recent fact that there's someone calling a kid Mongo.
yeah.
I mean, they're,
there's like,
they're
he gets his pube stuck in a zipper.
He gets his dick stuck in a zipper.
He gets his dick stuck in a zipper. There's like common hair.
I mean, it's Fairly Brothers, so there is that stuff, but there is like actual funny like dialogue and stuff.
And it's all before Ben Stiller got his like good teeth. So he has like...
Ooh, I like old teeth Ben Stiller. I like non-veneers
well,
Ben Stiller.
The same people that did, I think, the same people that did Something About Mary did a more recent movie called Hall Pass that was god-awful. And I feel like that was just... Hall Pass was like seeing Something About Mary now.
That was Fairly Brothers? Hall
I
Pass?
Think it was.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
Wow, I can cheat on my wife. Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much. That's pretty much they do. And then Jason Sudeikis is like kind of just like fine with it. There's a lot of, I think I talked about on the podcast as any weird movie has come up, but I saw it with my parents because for some reason we thought it'd be like a fun family movie. And a girl, there's a scene where
did you not know what a hall pass is?
I knew, but I thought it would be like,
wait, what is a hall pass?
It's like the they get like the you can cheat on me like from their wives, like you get like a, you know, like you
for
can,
a week they both, but the way it
they
was
go
phrased,
on like
but,
Rum Springer,
but they yeah. can't, but they can't fuck because they're losers, but, I assume is the gag.
Yeah, but like the trailer made it seem like it was just like goofy, and it, you know, it wouldn't be like actual sex and stuff. It would just be, you know, some dude at a resort going like a va-va-voom or whatever. And then it was like really graphic. And yeah, at one point there's this like drunk woman and she sneezes. She's sitting on the side of a bathtub and she sneezes and shoots diarrhea all over the wall.
Oh no.
And my dad was sitting next to me. He was like, oh. I was like, sick. Absolutely super just, fucking cool.
And then if it was Fairly Brothers, she would then sit back down on the toilet and go, ooh, like Dumb and Dumber, the classic bit.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like with a lot of those like 90s like gross out like rom-com type things, you have to like excise parts of them that are good.
Yeah.
Like Along Came Polly is not a good movie, but there are several things in Along Came Polly that are unbelievable. Everything Philip Seymour Hoffman does in that movie is incredible. Like, that's a dude who could just be sleepwalking through that movie.
Why have you guys seen all these movies?
I don't remember Along Came Polly.
I've never seen that movie.
He plays, like, his, like, shitty friend who was, like, a child actor.
I don't think I've ever seen Jennifer Aniston in anything. Like, I have not watched more than 10 minutes of Friends.
You didn't see The Breakup with Vince Vaughn?
I didn't. I heard that one was good, actually. I have seen Office Space.
You didn't see The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds and Jennifer Aniston?
Are we going to do this for the next 20 minutes?
The Proposal was Sandra Bullock, bitch.
No, okay, well, there's one with Jennifer Aniston.
I think
by one you just mean another movie.
I don't have the ability to disprove. I can't prove a negative. I don't know.
But there's another movie that Jennifer Aniston is.
It's
in.
One of those where eventually you're just like, probably. I don't know.
She was in a lot.
I feel
of
like
stuff.
We covered this man. We should move on.
Okay. Well, he's fired, I'm sure, and this guy should sue the government and try
fired
to get him
from the FBI.
It's gonna be hard to do, but he might as well give it a shot because they'll probably settle. So cool.
Number four.
All right, number four, we're going from real guns to fake guns, and that's really a stretch here. So this is in Southwest Florida, a town called Bonita Springs, which I am familiar with. It's not far from where I go visit my parents.
What's it like? Not a Greek fishing village like the last place I talked about for 20 minutes you guys were begging me to stop talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Tarpon Springs?
It's just like they all kind of blend into each other. They're like, you know, it's Florida, so you can go from, like you know, driving past, like, Carrabba's and, like, places like that, and you take a turn, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, where the... You know, you're in, like, a... You know, the middle
you're
of, like, a...
That's some shit. My dad fucking
James
loves
Franco
Carrabba's.
In Spring Breakers
Yeah, or like Deliverance. Not really, but, you know, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. Like, it's CD. Like, Florida can kind of... Even within the nice towns, it can kind of, like, fluctuate.
My dad always does the thing, it's like... Because there's, like, a Carrabba's near my college when they visit, and he always be like, where's that? Let's go to that place. What was that Italian restaurant we went to? I was like, Carrabba's? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you can't say Italian restaurants. Like,
I've never been to Carrabba's. Is it good?
It's Olive Garden. Do you like Olive Garden? You like Carrabba's. It's literally like...
Casual dining restaurant.
If Olive Garden was founded by two brothers and they had like a falling out, like one was named Carrabba and they just changed the name of it.
The other one was named Olive Garden.
Yeah.
I was going to say the other one was the guy from Dashboard Confessional whose last name was Carrabba.
That's true. That's,
oh my God.
Yeah, Chris Carrabba.
Yeah, so you're like, how do you guys know Jennifer Aniston movies? You're like, you guys remember the Dashboard Confessional guy's last name?
I was really cool in high school.
Yeah.
Bitch.
I knew that one too, pal.
What is Dashboard Confessional? Is that just nonsense?
It's just the guy with a really high-pitched voice who started as like
what is a dashboard?
What is a dashboard confessional?
I don't know, screaming in a car probably.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's like crying in a car.
Yeah, it's definitely crying.
It's he was like a little pussy, little emo bitch.
That is true.
I loved him. I'm not gonna go on a rant about emo, but anyway. He's a little emo bitch.
That's a bonus episode. Pure
me
cast.
Just yelling just... about Rites of Spring for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You should know you're from DC. It's where it all started. It's where it all began,
if you
man.
We're paying attention to it. That wasn't like
you were listening to what was that song?
It wasn't like
song from the Pepsi commercial we talked about.
Sev, dude. Sev, yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't like, it's not like some documentary where like, if you lived in DC during the 90s, emo was unavoidable. Like, you just didn't see it.
You're wearing a Wave shirt. Like, I assumed you would know.
That's
anyway.
Not emo?
Eli was actually imagining dragons. Yeah, he was literally imagining.
I thought you would
dragons.
Know about like hardcore.
I imagined a lot of dragons when I was in middle school. That's true. I was like all about it.
What happened?
So
everyone thinks I'm into hardcore because I'm from DC, and I guess
you're
I look
wearing
like
a wave shirt. That's like a
not
punk,
hardcore.
That's like a punk band.
Yeah, but I don't. Okay, this is just like actually a pet peeve, or not really a pet peeve, but people because I say I'm from DC, and I guess I look like retroactively I would have been into it. Yeah, people like sometimes people don't even go like, "Were you into that?" They just start being like, "Oh man, you remember fucking Sally's?" And I was like, "I don't. I wasn't part of the DIY or like punk scene in DC. I was lame."
You should be flattered. People think you're cool.
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
I was 8 when
Thanks,
it closed.
Everybody.
All right, so this guy, we don't know who it is because he's a master criminal. he went to a 7-Eleven in Bonita Springs, and he, you know that thing where like you try to mug somebody and you're pointing your finger like a gun, and you kind of convince them you have a gun. Usually it has to be dark for that, not in fluorescent 7-Eleven lighting. Another problem with this guy's plan was he had his shirt up over his head to cover his face, which is why they don't know who it is. But the gun was just like his naked arm. Like there was no gun because he just pointed his fingers at the guy. And they basically told him to fuck off, I guess. And he did not, it says here, he did not force the issue. he ran empty-handed out of the store to his getaway vehicle, a white mountain bike.
Yeah, okay. I was like, it's going to be some sort
of
manually powered machine.
Yeah, so this guy's whole deal was, I'm guessing he probably was not, he might be as fucked up as the other guy, the FBI
guy.
But
They should try, I wish the FBI guy tried to arrest him.
Yeah.
Just like,
I'd watch that interrogation.
Yeah.
But the FBI guy wishes he had a fake gun in his pants and not the one that's ruined his life.
Go back in time and switch the two guns. Yeah, I guess outcomes is that a 7-Eleven gets robbed.
the other one is that guy has that guy's hand in his pants. Severed hand.
He does a backflip and a severed hand making a finger gun motion falls out of his belt.
Scares more people in the place.
In the present, I'm just watching the most fucked up picture ever, like refill in.
Back to the Future style.
Like, all we're saying this like this fucking idiot dude, but also like he attempted to commit robbery and got away. Like
for now,
yeah,
he's beaten
away.
A lot of other people out of this.
Yeah, that's
he's
true.
Better at it than a number of other
he
people.
He also, I mean, he knew the classic thing, which is if you don't have a gun, they can't charge you for armed robbery, so it's less time.
That sounds like some entrapment shit.
No, it's true. Like, Patty, isn't it true?
If
you don't have a weapon, you can't be charged with armed
robbery.
Technically,
I guess so. I mean, maybe burglary because you're threatening violence, like or not burglary.
Violence.
Is the word you're looking for violence? Yeah.
No,
you commit violent stealing.
Look,
violent stealing. No, it's robbery. It's just regular robbery.
Let me throw
robbery,
something out there. You know what? I'm gonna say it. Let me just be you in court one day. I'll just go in. Like,
you are charged
Your Honor,
with
violent stealing. You're charged with stabbing too much. I would just use a weird Cajun accent.
You would be like a.
It's like the third day of the trial, too. So you've already been there for 2 days. And now walking away, my name is Patrick Monahan.
Yeah. It's like you're losing the accent. It's different than it was. I don't know what's going on. I'm
just always turning Italian.
I don't know about this guy. So this guy. I applaud the clerk, I guess, for not going along. I don't know. I mean, like with banks, you can just give them like a note, and like they just do it.
Yeah. Also, 7-Eleven never carries more than like. I mean, it's not like this guy fucking planned this out.
I think there's,
no, this was a
blueprint somewhere.
This was he got a bug up his butt. He had an idea, just a wild idea.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, do you have? We only carry like. It's like, oh man. Hey, I'm just gonna. Can I like go back to before I did this? And just like, I'm gonna take a walk. Is that cool? All right. I'll see ya.
I'm loving right now. Sorry, imagining this, him preparing for this heist, but as if it's like a heist movie with like the music playing. And it's just like boom, ba boom, ba boom, boom.
Right.
And he's like cocking his hand
and
then
gearing
like,
up by flipping his shirt up.
Shirt over his head. He's like giving himself a pep talk. He's like, we go in there. That's as far as I got.
They have all like the cuts, like at the end of Oceans, where he like walks out and then gets on his bike and rides away, and it's like he did it. It's like he did what exactly? Yeah.
we're gonna steal 30 blue e-cigarettes and a buffalo chicken roller.
It actually reminds me of a movie.
Oh man, steal the whole roller,
the entire rolling machine.
The rolling machine. Dang. I want one of those in my kitchen.
He drops the gun onto the rollers and it just starts rolling. He's like, ah!
Just going off. Because
it's hot. Yeah, then it's hot. No one can get. get it off because it's too hot. You touch it, and you're just like, oh!
It's just firing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how, like, how just guns go off when they get hot? You know that thing?
No, yeah. Or a burglar tries to hold up a 7-Eleven, and he, like, pulls up the gun, and he's like, put your hands up. And the fucking... The guy behind the
clerk counter.
The clerk just like grabs a buffalo chicken roller and shoves it down the muzzle of the gun and plugs it up.
It's like, not so fast. He throws it and it like goes into slow motion as
like a taquito right into the
just a slow motion of a hot dog just like wiggling it through the air like whoa, 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 whoa.
It's like what is that? It's like our new buffalo chicken taquito. You're fucking out of here,
but
pal.
Then the taquito's hollow in the middle, so he still fires and it just shoots through all the cheese. Yeah. Just fucking.
It's like it reminds me of obviously a much less cinematic version. There's a movie from the early 90s called The Chase with Charlie Sheen and Christy Swanson. Yeah, and he escaped from jail, I want to say. And Charlie Sheen, and he was innocent. He actually didn't do it or whatever. And his big move is Christy Swanson's like a spoiled rich, you know, whatever, like L.A., like, you know, her dad.
Heir to the Swanson soup fortune.
Yeah, her dad is the dad from Twin Peaks. He's like, I'm a rich man. Everyone has to listen to me on the police or whatever. Yeah. And they're all afraid of him. And he holds her up with a baby Ruth. And he jams it in her back. And it's like, I'll kill her. And she's like, please don't.
Because she thinks it's a poop.
That's correct.
She thinks it's
a hard on. And it's like, gross, man. What are you doing? And then he gets in her car, and then the movie starts, and the whole movie is a chase. It's a really weird movie. It's a really weird movie because it has, like, Henry Rollins is in it as, like, cop.
Speaking of DC,
chasing them.
DC hardcore or whatever.
Flea and Anthony Kiedis are in it as, like, two guys who try to, like, stop the chase because it's in L.A., so it's all over the news. And like a monster truck that like rolls over and
this
like blows
like,
up.
This sounds like an Alex Payne movie or something from that era.
It's I don't know who did it.
It's not because it sounds shittier than
his
movies.
No, it's not good.
But like,
I couldn't tell you who did it. But
you
like,
got Eli? Yeah. Didn't you get held up by fingers?
I got
by
mugged
a finger
by
gun?
A finger man. It was like a longer story.
By a finger man.
Yeah. I got mugged.
Eli got mugged by salad fingers. That's that's 2 weeks in a row. Salad fingers references.
Well, did you make both of them?
Yeah, I did.
I feel like we can make a three happen next week.
I'm keeping the streak going.
We have to set the counter back.
Well, it fit somewhat naturally.
No, it did. No, I was drunk. I was at White Castle. I purchased...
Well, there's your first two problems.
Yeah, well, he followed me from White Castle. And so I went to White Castle. I bought one of those suitcases for a family, but it was just for me. I was like, yeah, I'll take the... like.
Take the start a new life pack.
Yeah. I'll take the my daughter's coming to dinner, please don't fuck this up pack from White Castle. And I was walking back with it, and then like literally right in front of my apartment, there's a guy that came out. He didn't even have like a mask or anything. He just had really big, huge bug eye sunglasses on.
Okay.
And he had I'm still 99% sure where his finger shaped like a gun in his jacket pocket.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, but it wasn't a jacket. It was like a shirt enough that the fabric was stretched. And I was
right,
like,
so you could see the fingers.
Yeah, and I was like, unless this is like some sort of like...
weird gun.
Yeah, a gun with like four barrels or whatever. And he's like, if you don't want to die, put your wallet and your phone on the ground and run.
Didn't take the suitcase full of White Castle.
No,
huh?
Well, yeah, he does that. And like I said,
can I keep the sliders?
The sliders.
But he does that. And I'm sort of, this is like how lazy I am. And I'm also, okay, so I don't think it's a gun. I'm not going to, like, bluff it. I'm not going to just be like, take the gun out and show me then. But I am, like, that a little mix of, like, confident enough that it's not a real gun that he's sort of, like, this was, like, a total kind of, like, he wasn't planning this. He just was like, this dude, I can
like
drop
like the 7-Eleven man.
Yeah.
Crime of opportunity.
Yep. And so I swear, I go, he's like, put your wallet and your phone on the ground and run. And I was like, hey, man, I'll give you my wallet and my phone. I really don't want to run. So I was like, I'll give you my wallet and my phone. I'll go around the corner. I'll wait there for 10 minutes. And you can get away. And
look
then,
at me, dude. I'm buying a case of cheeseburgers. Yeah, I am not going to run.
I don't want to jostle these burgers.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess
I'm not
he wasn't
a running person.
He wasn't ready to be negotiated with. So he's like, all right, man. I was like, okay. I put him down, and I left the White Castle too because I wasn't gonna be like I didn't want to start talking. He's like, no sliders, and so then I go around and like I come back and They're all gone. He left the sliders, which I thought was nice. And so then I like went
did
into
you,
my.
Did you take the sliders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come little victories. Yeah. I was like, you may have my phone in my wallet, but my bedroom's going to smell like onions tomorrow if I have anything to say about it.
We'll see who wins this round.
I'm going to wake up covered in burgers.
Yeah. 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 Let me take all these burgers that are basically choking hazards and eat them super drunk. So I go in and then I call the cops and I'm like, hey, I got mugged or whatever you say to the cops. And this is like sort of funny, but also very fucked up. I was like, hey, I got mugged. And she's like, where did it happen? And I told her where. I was like, right in front of my apartment. And then
is this the same place you live now?
Yeah. But it's also, it's in the middle of Williamsburg. It's not. It's like, not like I told my dad and he's like, you got to move. And I was like, I'm already in like a nice neighborhood. It's not, it's just like a crime of opportunity thing. And so the lady on the phone, when I called 911, I was like, I got mugged. She's like, where? That and then she literally just goes, instead of like, what race was he? She just goes, was he black? And I was like, you're not supposed to say that. Like, and like, he was, but then I almost was like so angry at her that I almost just lied and was like, no, like, hang up.
That'll
the phone.
Show you,
but I was just like,
not necessarily,
yeah. So I went
virtue
with,
signaling,
I don't see color,
yeah. I went with the middle ground of going, like. Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah. And then she was like, cool, we'll send some cops over. And I stayed up for like an hour and they never came and I went to sleep. And that was it. And then a few weeks later, whoever it was stripped all the cash out of my wallet, but they left the credit cards in it and just ditched it.
Oh.
And somebody found it in some projects and returned it to Chase Bank because I had a Chase card. And so then I get a call from Chase Bank. There's like, somebody turned in your wallet. And I go... And I get it from the bank manager and I'm sitting there and she's like, oh, it's your wallet. And she's like going through the stuff to get it. And she looks at me and she's like, you got mugged? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, who mugged you? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, were you drunk? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, you look like a drinker. And then just hands me my wallet. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, can I please get out of here?
Customer service.
Yeah. But as far as things go, I didn't lose my ID. I don't have any cash. You know, after all that, he got like $20. He probably was like, I should have taken the burgers. Burgers, like $14
more
worth of
net
burgers.
Net value in the burgers.
Also, I think, I don't know if I've told this story, but when I used to live right near that White Castle, I also one night, very drunk, decided to go, that was my shit. I'd go get that White Castle.
Yeah.
And the roommates I was living with then had a skateboard. One of them had a skateboard. And I hadn't skateboarded since I was like 14. But I was like, I was like, yeah, I am.
Mongo?
I actually do skate Goofy.
You skate Goofy?
I don't skate Mongo. I'm no Mongo. That does sound bad.
I think I know where it comes from generally.
Yeah, it's
not
probably
a good place.
Mongoloid.
It's not great.
Yeah, which is like, that's what, because it was like up until like the 50s, if your like child had like a mental disability, they would just call, like, they'd be like, your child's a moron and shit. And it was like very bad. But everyone knew that. Anyways, so I was like, I got to get to White Castle. I got to get there fucking ASAP.
I'm going to take this board.
I board over there. I fucking shred it all the way to White Castle, which is basically just up one street. And I get my suitcase.
Wow, you were like, I need this quicker than walking a block.
Yeah.
I need it that fast.
And I was like, I picked up my fucking suitcase, my goddamn Crave case. Which I was good.
I got to get these burgers.
And it was burgers and chicken rings, which... You gotta love White Castle because they're not even fucking trying. They're just like, hey, what shape does the chicken come out of the extruder? Cool. That's fine. Just chop it up.
Yeah, fuck it.
Chicken rings are good as fuck, though. Anyways, so I get my little suitcase and I'm skateboarding back and I'm just like kind of, it's like in the middle of the street and it's like a main street. I've already doxed myself enough times.
He was on Main Street.
Yeah. One Main Street. And I was skating down the middle. It's like, you know, 4 a.m, so nobody's on the street. I'm skating down the middle of the street and I hit like a pebble and I
face
plant so hard and the suitcase busts open. It's like literally like when you get hit as Sonic, but with burgers, like burgers just flew out all over the street. And I think I made a noise that was like, no.
Were any of them recoverable?
No, I
don't know. No, because they're not wrapped up. They're in those little things.
They're just loose.
They come in like a cartridge, like a bullet.
I've never eaten White Castle.
Really?
Yeah.
We should go to White Castle.
We should.
They sell them. You can just microwave them.
It's really bad.
Yeah, it's like very much like the lowest rung of like.
It's pretty bad.
You got to be in.
Wait, have you had Crystal?
No.
Oh shit! All right, Crystal's like. I think Crystal's like. Is it the full South like Hardee's Carl's Jr. thing where it's just like it's just White Castle names.
Hellman's
something else.
Best I don't Foods.
No, because White Castle's like a New York original place. Like White Castle's like, like a local like. Yeah,
I
had White Castle Chicken last rings, at a friend's wedding. Had a truck that was like a bodega.
Oh, sweet. I saw that. That was
had
sick.
Like,
that's fun.
It had, and it was all free, you know, because it was like built in as part of the wedding. And I was like, and that was like the best part. I was like, this is all free. This is all free. I don't pay for any of this. And so it's like sour power straws, fucking. Ooh, and they had like a selection of fast food. So they had White Castle. They had a few different Taco Bell things. And I forget what maybe Burger King or something like that. So you could just like go through and just like cherry pick whatever you wanted. And it was like, this is the best food I'll ever have in my life. This is it. This free thing at a wedding that I spent however much to be at, and also spent a huge money on a gift. And I'm having fast food burgers that I could buy for like $4.
And you're like, this is, and you're loving it.
Right. Like I'm getting one over on somebody when it's like, no, we did this on purpose. Like you can.
This is the cheapest thing we could have possibly.
This is supposed to be like this. Yeah. You're not fooling anybody.
They're really like White Castle burgers. We got to move on and not just keep on. But they're also they're steamed is like their whole thing.
So steamed hams.
Yeah. They literally are steamed hams. And
why would that be like a thing you want?
If they cook quicker, they can cook them like because
the bun
of
is sweaty.
Yeah, because of the size of
they
the,
steam it with the bun.
No,
but it gets sweaty.
But yeah. they're all sliders, and the way they cook them, they can cook them like so quick.
Right.
But they do.
So
that
it's not a benefit to the consumer.
Well, I mean, it is in like the sense that because you order like 20 of them, and you can just get like get that. That's a suitcase that I have, by the way.
It's in
the
picture. Yeah.
It has a little handle. But, like, I mean, it's just a way to, like, give everyone out quickly, I guess.
Yeah.
But,
I just mean, like, taste-wise, there is no benefit.
Oh, no. Taste-wise, there's no reason to go to White Castle ever.
It's just,
like,
I need a burger 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, and, like, sometimes you want gross shit. I don't know.
I get that. Like, I don't feel that way about fast food burgers. I feel that way about, like, Chinese food.
Yeah.
We should move on.
White Castle, yeah. It's like, you know, people talk about, like, umami? Like, if there's, like... Like evil umami. That's what White Castle tastes like. Like bizarro.
Dark bad. Umami.
Dark umami. White Castle tastes like dark umami. Yeah. Yeah. But your whole, anywhere you eat them fucking reeks of White Castle for a while.
We've harnessed the power of dark umami. The Crave case. It does sound like sinister.
Yugi, you got the dark umami card? I'll trade you for it.
That suitcase has like 25 burgers in it, so that's I just want to make that point. They're very small, but
there are 25 of them.
It's
a large number.
Like, I can have some tomorrow, but then I remember that they don't like hold up at all.
They turn to ash.
Especially not on, especially not in a cardboard suitcase next to your bed.
It's like they're the only thing that ages worse than like diner French fries. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, I can't eat this. It's like, I mean, it was great, like. 14 minutes ago, now it's like garbage because it's cold.
Yeah,
and God himself could not make it taste good again if he warmed it up.
You know that?
That's the thing. You can't ever bring it back.
You can't go back on French fries. They're done, man. It's over.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the White Castle podcast.
Sponsor.
Tune in next week for more White Castle related content.
Number 3.
All right, number 3. It's a beautiful story of a man following his bliss just in every way possible. This comes to us via Noisy from Vice, originally via Scott Ian from Anthrax. And what happened was that Slayer is currently, they're in the middle of their farewell tour. This is, I think, their fifth farewell tour.
Yeah.
They'll do another one next year. It's like Black Sabbath. They're just like, oh... They're like, we're done with this, man. And then they like are done and they're like, oh, we're like 60 and we don't do anything else. So there's like, let's just get Slayer back together. But anyways, so they're currently in the middle of their farewell tour. And that's Slayer. So now we're going to listen to the discography of Slayer. Slayer's going to be very difficult to talk over. We got to keep an eye on that volume as much as we want to crank it. So anyways, everyone's trying to see them for the last time because, you know, Slayer fans are like very, very rabid.
And also very gullible, apparently.
Yeah.
Since well, they've done so many of these.
Yeah, that is like a thing, though. I feel like tons of bands do that. Yeah. And just people are like, well, what if this is the last
one? Or like they'll break up and get back together 6 months later.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like most people are just like, look, I get more music from the band I like. Like, it's kind of like you just become kind of zen about it after a while.
Yeah.
Not, I mean,
like,
I don't...
I've been had. I grieved. You know, like, that's like, come on, man. What are you doing?
Yeah,
I know people who felt like that about LCD Sound
yeah,
System.
Yeah, I got over that. I got over that pretty fast.
Well, they also did, like, that whole, like, documentary and all that stuff. But they took long enough to get back together.
It was like a couple years.
Yeah. So this is in Toronto, anyways. Sadly, this happened at the Budweiser stage, but I'm saying sadly because it was previously called the Molson Amphitheater, which is very Canadian.
That's
just like it'd be like the Labatt Blue Bowl, like whatever.
Sorry Stadium.
Just in a giant carved out. I think that we just hit all the okay cultures. Just be like, you idiots. this is on an island in Toronto. It's like, you know, like right on the mainland, but not far off. And this man got kicked out of a Slayer concert, which is, I feel like, not that unusual. I feel like about half the people at a Slayer concert get kicked out at some point.
Is it not that unusual, or is it so hard to do because everyone should be getting kicked
should be
out?
Getting,
is
yeah.
it? That's
they're
the
like,
question.
How's everybody acting? I don't know. Like, they're at a Slayer concert. It's pretty bad.
It's looks pretty
like,
rough in there.
What's it look like? It looks like one of those cartoon fights with, like pound signs and swirling
yeah.
lines.
Oh, yeah.
A lot
around.
Of swirling lines.
Just like a Growlixes and fucking
animal
a dust
paws
cloud.
Coming at it.
Yeah. One cat.
It's like Andy Cap fighting his wife in there.
It's like.
Yeah, yeah. Who sent us that tweet that there's like the town that Andy Cap's creator is from has like an Andy Cap statue?
Yeah.
There's like one step away from him, just like a bronzed and his like wife statue a little bit away, and he's like punching. I don't know. So they don't say why he got kicked out. I assume he was just really drunk. That seems like
based
usually
on
the
what
way
comes next,
out.
That's what I'm gonna guess.
Yeah, and so they kick him out of the Budweiser stage, formerly known as the what was it
the Molson
Maple Leaf Auditorium.
Degrassi Junior High.
Yeah, I kicked him out of Degrassi Junior High.
The Tim Hortons.
yeah. Just a Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
Every building is just a different size Tim Hortons. This is the concert Tim Hortons. He drank too much coffee and got riled up. They had to kick him out. But so they escort him out and bring him back to the mainland. But he's got to see Slayer. More.
It's their last show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's their last tour. He's got
to
see him.
For at least the next 2 months, he's not going to be able to see him again. So he just, and this is, again, this is in Toronto, so this isn't like fucking Miami. He decides to just swim across the water back to the stadium, which is really not a lot of foresight involved in that plan. Because I'm pretty sure they don't have like, yeah, but where do you, like, there's no like dock. It's like, there's no new, like, climb up. There's a
well. Also, we were saying we were talking about this earlier. They're gonna know which one you are,
yeah,
because you are all wet.
Yeah. Hey, you're that guy we just kicked out, but now you're really wet.
Also,
how
we saw
happen?
You swimming toward us for 20 minutes
right.
or
yeah.
whatever.
No, so, they just he does that thing. You just see a reed slowly moving through the water, and, like breathing.
No, everyone's
it.
Wet because we're all sweaty. It's like yeah, but you have like a fish flopping in your belt,
one of those,
like in a cartoon.
Yeah. Seaweed in his pants and just yeah he
looks like old Greg.
No, he makes a costume out of he uses a bunch of seaweed to make like long hair and he's like, it's me, a different guy. It's I'm a
merman who loves Slayer.
He's actually yeah. gonna get no. He actually flew in the inside the beak of a pelican.
He gets coughed up. Yeah. Onto
the story of that would be a man kills pelican, just like jamming his foot. It's like, come on, aren't you supposed to stretch?
You're walking down the beach and you just see
guys,
a man trying to shove himself into a dead pelican's mouth.
Just like.
And he's like, Slayer! And you're like, yeah, sort of makes sense, honestly.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
So did he get back in?
Or I really just wish they'd have one of those, like, single-man submarines from, like,
yeah.
a cartoon.
Like in The Rock. Like,
yeah,
when they get to Alcatraz.
What's that weird... What are the weird... They're like Smurfs, but underwater.
Snorks.
Snorks, yeah. That's all I wanted to know. I wanted to remember what snorks were. So
did
yeah.
he, what happened to him? Did he get back in? No. There's a picture of him swimming that is very funny. Yeah, he's just a little head.
Yeah, you'd think it's like a seal, but then you're like, oh no, that's just a very drunk Slayer fan. So he didn't make it back into the show, but he was treated for hypothermia.
Yeah, so you know where I bet he made it to? An ambulance.
It's Toronto. It's freezing cold.
Am I back in the concert? And they're like, sure you are, buddy. Sun's getting real low.
He made it all the way to the chalk outline that they found him. Well, I mean, threw around him at the crime scene.
This is what happens when you have a great healthcare system. People are just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm jumping in.
Oh,
they'll
God.
Fix me.
That absolutely, if we had nationalized healthcare in America, like, shit like this would happen more often. Like, there's no question. There would be way more fireworks accidents. Yeah.
I can get new teeth. Do this thing.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, no, great. Let's go for it.
That's the guy. I really do enjoy this man. He seems great. And then one other weird thing that I just wanted to mention before we move on is that I hate Nickelback is a terrible joke. Don't make Nickelback jokes anymore. It's so Nickelback is like the Epic Bacon of our time. But it is still weird to me that the author of this, without ever talking about himself at any other point, just mentions that he knows the concert venue they're talking about because he saw Nickelback there last year. And that seems like a thing you don't say.
If you're in Canada, isn't Nickelback Canadian?
Yeah, they're Canadian.
You're allowed there. There's no stigma.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, if I was a music writer, which this guy presumably is, I would go see fucking Nickelback.
No, he went ironically like an asshole.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly for Noisy. Sorry, pay me to write something. But, you know.
That's a great pitch right there. You can turn that one down.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's Vice's specialty. Like, I went to fucking do some dumb shit.
Well, the Nickelback thing is like, it's weird because it's like, making fun of them is hack, which means there are that many people doing it, like that many tiers of people that have discovered that this is like a funny thing. But they're also still like pretty, like, I'm sure if they put out a song,
they're
it would be a hit, right?
Yeah.
It's, so like, that lets you know how big the fucking audience is that's aware of Nickelback. That's like, well, like, 2/3 of people think we're shitty, but we still sell 3 million records from the rest of them. It's like, all right, well, you win. Chad Kroeger.
Is he still married to what's her name?
No, they broke up.
Yeah.
They broke up.
Sad to hear it.
Very sad.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to this Slayer man. Hopefully he'll get to see them on their next farewell tour. Yeah.
Good luck to Chad. Good luck to Avril. Good luck everybody. That's what we want to leave you with on this one. Okay.
Number two.
Alright, so number two. Number two is kind of a throwback. This to me was like a story out of like 2007, like pre-financial crash. This was like, wow, Trump really is rolling everything back to before Obama, like type thing. A reappearance after years of sort of not really doing anything online of Julia Allison, who I don't know. It's weird to like figure out who knows who that is and who doesn't, because like she was such a New York sort of like gawker item.
Yes, that's how I know about her.
Yeah,
is because even though I lived in Iowa when she was a thing, I read Gawker.
Yeah, and she was on the cover of Wired at one point, to be fair.
Really?
But she was like much, I feel like she was much more known as an object of derision than she ever was.
Yes.
For anything she actually did positively.
So let me run down. All right, so we went to the same college. She was a year ahead of me. I think she might have been 2 years ahead of me, actually, because I think she took a year off to work on the Hill or something in Congress. She wrote on the newspaper, Georgetown's a Catholic school. We had a newspaper that was ultimately the school had like say over some, you know, they generally were not too bad. But like you couldn't sell condoms at the on campus like stores or whatever and stuff like that, you know, or like
sure, that worked out great for everybody.
Well, what I mean, yeah. She had considered a sex column. She was sex on the hilltop.
Oof.
And this ties into the article.
What'd you say, Eli?
She had to be like chaste.
Well, it was about dating. It wasn't like
relationships.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't like something you would read like in like the like an NYU paper.
Hypothetically,
I'm sure,
how you would please your man if you were allowed.
I don't think it was even like that. I don't think it was even allowed to be like that. But like there, so like they like it was a generally pretty independent paper, but like the school did have control over it. But anyway, so she was known as a dating columnist at Georgetown. she then sort of like parlayed this a bunch of different ways. At one point, she was dating Harold Ford Jr., who was like an up and coming Democrat congressman, who kind of was like seen as like a rising star on the party. He was, and then he was definitely at least half black. He might have been, he had kind of like a Derek Jeter thing going on where he was like handsome and like, you know, he had like a lot of star appeal.
Uh-huh.
And then his opponent had robocalls about like basically like he's sleeping with your white women.
Oh no.
And it was, I think about her.
And it was about Julia Allison.
Because like there was a lot of DC is like very gossipy about that kind of shit. So that was like all over whatever.
About when people of two different races date.
No, about like banging interns or whatever. You know, it was like Wonkat used to do that kind of stuff. You know, or whatever.
God, Wonkat. Yeah. I feel like when I think of Julia Allison, I also think of Wonkat.
Right. This is all very like pre 2000. Yeah. So anyway, back to college. She then moved to, she got fired from the paper in college because she was plagiarizing stuff.
Oh, not for sex stuff. Just she got fired because she fully plagiarized.
I'm sure she would phrase it as like, you know, well, she was butted heads with people, but the main reason for butting heads was, hey, this was like an article from iVillage and it's very similar to your like gift guide. Like what's going on? You know?
They should have been happy that she should have been like, I was plagiarizing because I would never sully my body.
Yeah. But so then eventually she moves to New York, like gets a job at like one of those like papers they give you for free in the subway.
Yeah.
Like Abby.
Street Sense.
Time Out New York. Oh, okay. Like AM New York. One of those.
The shittier than that even.
The sex guide in Street Sense must be.
What is Street Sense?
Street Sense is the newspaper that homeless people hand out.
Oh.
No, like, she did not work for Street Sense.
That's what I'm saying. The sex guide would kind of be sick. I would read that.
It'd be interesting.
Just to find out like what's going down.
It's like where can you bang? It's like, I mean, places, whatever, man.
Eli, were you the one who told me you saw a dude asleep with an open?
Oh yeah. This isn't a long story or anything. I was just walking to work and it was on 8th Avenue, which is like, you know, it's a fucking busy street. And it was a homeless guy passed out. I mean, that's not what's funny. But he was passed out on the side of the sidewalk. But in the, like, dead center, middle of the sidewalk, this very well-traveled sidewalk, was, like, an old-school nudie mag open to the centerfold, which was just a woman straight up spreading her pussy lips apart. Like, not even one of the tasteful pages. It was, like, something that's, like, not even, like, even a straight dude is, like, this isn't, I don't think you know, like, what this is for. Like, this isn't actually sexual. It was, like, medical. It was approaching, like, a... You know, like they, if they captioned it, it would have been like educational to people. But that was just lying face up in the middle of the street. And I thought about like closing it because I was like, oh, what if a kid or something? But then I was also like, I want other people to experience the joy of seeing
also,
this thing.
Would you want to touch it?
No, that's also
you
true.
You would not.
Yeah. But it was right in front of a stand too, like one of the little newsstands. So I was like, did he buy it there and then just like crank it and fucking chuck it over his shoulder and pass out?
Honestly, that would be a wonderful power move.
Yeah. I was just like, yeah. Who wants jewel pods? Just ignoring this like cummy homeless man in the street.
The joke is not the man. The joke is the disgusting centerfold.
Yeah. Just like
also the immediately disposing of the porno magazine.
Yeah.
It's like this is like the New York Newsday of porno magazines.
Yeah.
Like no one has ever I forget whose joke it is, but like no one has ever read Newsday other than people that find it at the diner when they get there.
Yeah.
But that's like the thing that Julia Allison wrote for was like a Newsday.
It was Newsday is an actual paid newspaper, but she wrote for like AM New York or like I said, one of the subway ones. But and then she ended up getting a job at Star, and she was like an editor at large for whatever the fuck. But she all this time she was cultivating this image as like a person who was around like the scene as like a, you know, like
she'd be on red carpets,
gadfly or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck does this person do? This is like back in like the, you know, when that still was something people couldn't really figure out. Like the Paris Hilton was like not only a few years before. Like nobody really had a grip on this like famous for famous thing. And then like the tech scene started to blow up in New York. So she got in with like the tech people and like dated some of the tech guys and was just kind of like then like became like a tech adjacent person, even though she had no background or anything to offer as far as that was concerned. And all this while Gawker was like, she was basically the proto version of like this They call them fame ball is the word they use, but it's, I mean, we talked about this, but it's like someone who just like is around and just like, well, what is this? Why is this? Like if
social, it's like a socialite.
Yeah. But like
it's tier below socialite.
Right. Like not even like there's like a structure for that. This was like, she kind of made her, and I respect her seemingly total lack of shame during this time. But anyway, so she got, and then she moved to the West Coast and got in with the tech scene over there or whatever. She ended up on the cover of Wired magazine. That is, you can look that up. And then she just kind of burned out, I guess. I don't really know what happened. Like, she had a couple.
She wrote this article about what happened.
Well, right. I mean, she had pilots. But anyway, so getting back to why she's back in the news, she wrote an article for the New York Post for like Sex and the City's anniversary, I guess like the 20th anniversary of when it premiered or something.
Yeah, 20th anniversary.
And about how Sex and the City, its couch is how it ruined her life, because without Sex and the City, she wouldn't have discovered how to do makeup in high school, and guys wouldn't have started thinking she was pretty.
It's unclear. Exactly.
She wouldn't
what
have started wearing
is.
Dresses and come to New York. And she's like, I dated a bunch of Mr. Biggs and whatever.
Yeah, she was like, she chose to model her entire life after a television show. And now she thinks that that might not have been the best thing.
Yeah.
But someone said this on Twitter, and it's true. In true Julia Allison fashion, learning all of the wrong lessons from everything she has
like,
ever
this is
done.
This is a piece where it's like, oh, well, first of all, you don't write this unless you're fucking coming back. Something is coming. Yeah. Because
well,
no
she
way you
described
write this
her
thing.
Current job. It says it in her Twitter bio and in this article.
Yeah.
And I'm still baffled by it. She says she's a change activist.
Yeah, it's pretty.
What the fuck is that?
I think she's like currently dating. It says she's currently dating somebody that's like a digital ambassador. And it's the exact wording. And I'm hoping to God that it's fucking Shingy. Please tell me she's dating Shingy. Do you remember Shingy?
No, Shingy was the guy who was definitely dating Anna Delvey. Because he was the futurist who like had the app.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's what I think I got the articles mixed up.
I don't know who Shingy is, but...
He was like guy who looks like a... He looks like Sonic
looks
also
like a cat,
with the fucking hair. He was like a digital evangelist. Like one of those like jobs that shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
But like a guy...
Change activist. I can't get over that.
But so, well, what she describes it as, like, I arrange summits for world leaders. And it's like, no, you don't. You haven't arranged multiple summits.
You absolutely don't. You schedule fucking circle jerks for Silicon Valley assholes to...
So here's the arc, right? She's in New York, you know, she's doing all that stuff. She kind of gets into tech, moves to Silicon Valley, does tech stuff. She has a couple pilots along the way. One is about like being like a dating advice person. She has like a website where they're giving live. She was like one of the first like live, like if Periscope had existed back then, she would have been like all over that. She was one of the first people who was like a complete. She and like one of the guys who like founded Tumblr dated and had like a joint relationship blog that was like a complete disaster.
I remember that.
So just the whole thing is like. She was kind of on the vanguard of this, like, no privacy, like, my, you know, and like, obviously the culture has caught up to it since then. So, but I think what happened was she basically, she said she got in a relationship with a guy who did not want to be poly, which to me means she went to fucking Burning Man at some point, right?
Yeah,
that's what that seems like that's the only way that ends up happening.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been to Burning Man.
And so now she basically has become, like, she went from, like, the worst of the New York stuff to the worst of, like, a certain kind of the tech scene, and now to, like, the post-tech, which is like the hippy dippy. Now I'm going to change the world in a different way because I went to Burning Man and did drugs.
Yeah.
In my like, you know, $1 million camp or whatever. That to me is now the arc. And so I'm waiting to see how this change activism becomes a thing.
Well, you can tell that's the arc because she is wearing a an outfit with flowing sleeves and it's white.
Yeah.
Which is how you know that somebody has disconnected from the internet and is now a better person.
Yeah, I was
going to
say
it. It's, remember the Moon Juice lady?
Oh,
do you remember her?
Yeah.
That's like, she looks like the Moon Juice lady now.
Yeah.
Amanda Chantal Bacon. Thank
you. Yeah.
I think about her so much.
Like, this is the whole thing to be like, it's like, don't have this article. It's like, this ruined my life. And then have a photo of yourself sitting in like a beautiful park wearing like a
$400
fucking Anthropology dress. It's
unless
like,
you're in an asylum where that picture was taken.
Yeah.
It's so stupid because it's like clearly modeling your entire life on a fictional character is a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's your fault.
Yeah,
so that's not...
You know who ruined your life? Like... You did this. I made bad decisions and they ruined my life.
Turns out.
The article. I also like...
Define ruined.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
true.
She's doing fine.
She's just like sad, I guess.
She, you know, I mean... Like,
but she's like always been... She's always been like rich. She's always been, you know...
Well,
I mean,
she could barely afford a $2,500 a month apartment, you know, which...
Yeah, she's She, I mean, she probably is just like at an age where she realized she's like not been a positive influence on society, and, right. and that's
well, she's 37.
Didn't ruin your life. You just realized that you were not a good person.
Well, it's also her defining her entire success and failure in life based on whether or not she's married. Which yeah. is like, clearly you are, this shit is still ingrained in you if you also, think you're a failure because you're not married at 37.
Isn't that, like, you should have known that if you're modeling your whole shit on Sex and the City, because that she never, like, ever gets married, right?
Yeah, she does.
Like, it'd been in the movie or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but that's like 14 seasons or I don't know how long.
Freeze those yeah. eggs.
I also just want to say, I don't understand, I don't I mean, we're like over time, but like, dating advice columns, I don't understand how someone be... What is the what are your credits to get that? Because if you're really really good at dating or whatever, then like
wouldn't you be done with it?
You'd be married, yeah. and if you were married, you'd have no experience with dating because you've been married. And if you're not married and you're dating all the time, if you're going on like lots of first dates, then it seems like you're bad at dating. It's like what, how, who, where is this coming from? That I don't know why anyone would listen to anyone giving them dating advice. That's not just ask your fucking friends. Whichever of your friends seems like they have their shit the most together, just ask them. Don't just trust some column that's like, well, I'm the love guru. Well,
I would like to tell our listeners that I am available to write dating columns. Thank you. Yeah. I do not agree with Eli.
Podcast host eviscerates dating column industry.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Famously stable podcast. Famously stable occupation podcast host.
So, yeah. So, she, look, you know, she... she's cast herself as this kind of weird figure who has now transcended this. I'm just going to go ahead and say, I doubt it. I think this is calculated. I think this tracks with her entire deal. And frankly, I'm excited to see how she can make everyone mad again because it's been too long.
Yeah. I missed her.
Welcome back. There's that blog that is... you know about the blog, right?
No.
Oh, man. All right. There's this blog that has been going on about her and her like orbit for I don't know how many years, many years. It's like probably the meanest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
on
like
the internet.
That's weird at this point because yes. it's she has been out of the public
people,
eye for like
those
9 years.
Those people are that's like true insanity. Is
they've been following her like, as a person.
They're like friends from the comments of this website, which has existed
so
to make
sad.
Fun of this girl.
Yeah,
right. So it was called rebloggingdonk.com. They were like the name for her was something donkey. I forget why.
Okay.
God.
And it was like you can just go there and there's like a whole like breakdown of why a bubble it was
don't
just,
tell me this now I'm like kind of on her side
this,
a little
this
bit
this was the Rotundo stuff. I was like we need to stop earlier because then I started to get empathy and empathy is the enemy of the podcast
anyway,
absolutely that is the last thing we need here.
No empathy, no, don't, you don't need it. I promise. Blogging junk, blogging donk, check it out or don't. It's probably
Patty
bad.
Patty is a known commenter there.
It's probably bad for your, it's probably bad for no I, oh, I had somebody I just I knew somebody who was is very serious at dating and eventually married somebody that she used to date.
Oh.
And she
was not a good person.
You, I feel like if you're on Reblogging Donk for that reason, I at least kind of understand it. It's not healthy.
No.
But it makes more sense than total strangers.
I didn't like go on it. I just it was I was just interested in like the because like
I moderated
because she
the
was because she was I like I had no connection to it and then it was like oh like this person
this
that
person,
I'm friends with
exactly
you know, like,
yeah,
is
yeah
dealing with this person who we have no other connection. There's no reason for them to have ever intersected, but it's like very like, you know, we can talk about it, but not on air. So I don't defame anybody.
Remember how we were going to keep this one short?
Yeah.
Well,
we'll be good. Yeah. And then, but anyways, look out for her book. That'll come out. It'll be one of those hardcover books. It's like minimum page count and it'll be in like 14 point type.
Yeah. The title will be like the entire book cover. Like it'll go margin to margin, like no space on either side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the whole thing. And then like a picture of her in the middle of it.
Finding Julia. Something like some shit like that. Change activism. Check it out. It's like a new industry. Okay.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
I've got good news, everybody. We solved the school shooting defense problem. We got some exciting updates from Fox News. A Fox News defense specialist, Allison Berry. She scours, like, I guess, various defense related, I don't know, why don't you say munition people, but Fox, she found a way to protect our kids in schools in case there's another school shooting, she says at one point, which is like, I bet on it.
In case, just in case.
God forbid.
Fox News' new defense contractor vertical that they're launching.
Yeah, so she's got the solution. It's not more regulation. It's not anything like that. It's cans that shoot big jugs of water. That's the
yeah. Is that the solution. Official title of this?
No, I'm sure we're gonna get the name.
Yeah. But this is specifically for school shootings.
Well, no, it's I'm sure it was started as a military thing.
Right.
It's a wall. It's designed to break down walls. I'm sure they would use it in like, you know, but yeah, now we're just repurposing military tech to protect kids in schools.
Great.
Yeah. Which again,
love the way this is going.
It's going in the right direction, I think.
Anytime we can bring more military equipment into everyday civilian life, I'm happy. Yeah.
I want that fucking thing from RoboCop 2 walking around. All right, that's what I want. Yeah, I want my kids to be safe.
Well, this thing that looks literally just like a giant potato shooter. Really looks like it's precise and controlled when it goes off.
You're pretty good. It's a pneumatic cannon, so you had it right.
You fill the back with Axe, and you put a fucking water bottle.
All right, so let's watch.
You light it with a Bic.
Yeah. And, so there's a great video segment, so we don't have to worry about reading the article. It's definitely worth checking out. We're gonna play a little bit of it now because it's pretty insane.
School shootings are something that are on all of our minds. I know it's on mine, and I'm very committed to searching
and
scouring all over the United States.
I could 100% get this.
You are so much better than this.
The military is using our special operations that our students
Fox
might be able to
Fox Firepower.
And law
this
enforcement might be able to
show?
Use to better help save our students in an active
school
shooting
shootings are bad,
schools,
bad,
God
bad.
God forbid we should have another one.
God forbid we should have
one
another
that
one.
I'm really excited about. I'd seen
excited
a while ago.
Excited.
I'm really pleased to see it again at SOFIC. This past week, it was held outside MacDill Air Force Base.
I'm so much better than this. Give me this job.
The very latest.
If you think school shootings are bad, 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 come down to MacDill Air Force Base.
It's we'll be shooting water cannons.
Yeah. Spelled cannon wrong. Very important.
Yeah, spelled cannon like the fictional universe.
Yeah, this is part of the the water cinematic universe.
You gotta look at this text as it pops on.
Punch through walls. Two-layer walls.
Brick walls.
Rip through metal. Rip through vehicles. Just using
yeah, this seems super safe.
How can that be possible, right?
I know if I was in a mass shooting, I would be like, I hope something rips cannon. Through the wall.
cannon was spelled wrong again.
That ammo. You might be picturing the smaller water bottle, but what it actually uses is those big tanks. So you know how
that's not
that
the
phrase,
fucking terminology.
Water cooler talk. Hanging around the water cooler.
Some stock photos
exactly
of people hanging out around
ordinary
water coolers.
This is the best.
Water tanks that we use all across America in pretty much every office, right? Every building, every hotel, every school. You're going to find these water tanks. And that's one of the reasons why I'm very excited about this technology, because that ammunition is very readily available everywhere.
So are
and
bullets!
In an active shooter situation, look, those aren't planned, right?
Yeah,
those
but you don't have a bullet cooler
so
in your office.
Who has this cannon in this scenario?
Being able to source things from your immediate environment.
Yeah, but the cannon will also have to be outside.
Right.
Yeah. So
the
they'd
cannon
have to, like,
is...
need
a cannon.
Cannon
spelled
carrier.
Wrong again.
God damn
well,
it.
Here's the scenario. Think about this. We've got a school. We've got children barricaded into classrooms.
Let's
We've got
run them over with
the
water cannon.
Shooters roaming the
hall. Arrives. They know the children are safely barricaded into the classrooms as safely as they can be.
Until we knock the wall down on
them.
No way of extraction.
What if we were able to just roll up this cannon, punch holes, escape holes, man-sized escape holes, into those walls
man-sized?
Safely so that the children aren't hurt
They're
by that
They're saying man-sized
blast.
Escape holes. This is just footage of it just destroying cinder block walls.
Have to exit through the hall.
Well, the kids get away from the
risk
walls.
With those shooters roaming the halls, right?
So okay,
it might
but
sound very dramatic. There really isn't anything that
it's a foolproof
okay,
plan.
So,
to save our
so
children,
all
right?
of
that
the
means we have to rebuild a school wall. So
right,
be
so they're going
to
knock
so
down
really
every wall to every class.
Also,
you might be thinking,
yeah,
well, can't
so
we just
this
use
is a room while there's an active shooter where kids are barricaded inside. One would guess they're probably as far away from the door as possible, most likely against the outside
exactly.
wall. There's no way to communicate where they're standing, so they roll up the cannon and punch a man-sized hole in the wall.
You change the shooting drills. You tell the kids to stay away from the wall.
Stay away from the door and the wall.
And there's one corner you can be in. Yeah. It's the corner that's like on the same side as the door, but away from the door.
Yes. Make sure you stand diagonal to the wall punching cannon that will be freeing you.
Choose one representative from your classroom to run to the teacher's lounge and get the tank of water out of the water cooler. Bring it back to your classroom. Heave it out of the window so that they can. That's another thing is if there's a window, you could just go out the window. So, what you need is you need a second cannon. Use that to fire the tank of water outside to the cops. they'll then load their cannon and shoot it back in, make a man-sized hole.
Because the cops are somehow not going to have water, like the water jugs, if that's this, like, yeah. It's her thing about, like, it's because they're everywhere, and it's like, are people just, like, making these on the fly?
Yeah.
No, they're going to have them, which means, like, they should just use something else at that point.
Right. Just blow up the, like, they seem to have this weird thing where they just, they think the dangerous part of explosions is fire, which is not it. Like, they're like, well, it's not on fire, so you... Yeah, a kid might get fucking hit with a cinder block, but it's like, hey, kid, good luck. I mean, fucking good news. You're not going to get hit by that tiny piece of lead. Instead,
this seems
you're
to
only
going to
get hit by a cinder block going right. 300 feet per
this
second.
This to me now, it seems to me like this is wall-breaching tech to be used on, like, insurgents, where this way there's no fire for the guys running in to
right,
get burned
right,
by.
Right.
So, but, yeah, it's like, well, but what about that? But for the, we can use it for kids, probably.
I literally, yeah, but the another thing is, like, if this is for insurgents or whatever, mortar shells are lighter than a fucking tank of water. They'd be easier to load than, like, a four. I mean, what, those water tanks are extremely fucking...
They're very light. What do you mean? It's all, this is very practical. I appreciate...
I'm really excited about it. I'm with her.
You can hear in her voice how excited she was.
Yeah, she was
United
pumped.
States, right? Well, the idea is that by using a water cooler, it's going to be a whole lot safer.
It's not a water cooler!
The concept is, when it impacts that wall, the water just kind of sprays, right? So it's going to be a lot less dangerous than traditional explosives.
And you feel stupid.
Water sprays.
Passages in a school shooting situation. Unfortunately,
it says water sprays on impact. That serves no purpose. You get the kids wet.
A rise in terrorism on home soil. So what that could mean
is, if you stumble over the word terrorism, do another take.
It could mean
we are definitely not suffering from a rise in terrorism, by the way. They just say things.
Like escape routes, right? Little escape
routes.
The cannon also goes flying backwards.
Might not be expected. Now, there's lots of other non-lethal options out there. This one you can also make more powerful by...
Are we considering lethal options for getting kids out of a school?
Four times!
I really love the water approach.
Cannon is spelled wrong four times.
I'm so glad there are ways to make this more dangerous and deadly. Thank you for suggesting.
The ability to punch through those walls, the knowledge, the confidence. You can punch through a brick wall, creating a hole.
Punch through
walls. Punch through two layers. Rip through vehicles. It's pretty cool, right? But also very important.
I mean, I guess.
I'm Allison Berry for Fox Firepower. For more information, head over to our column on foxnews.com. You'll find it every week. It's Fox Firepower. And you'll find lots more exciting and fascinating technology developed for our law enforcement and military.
So this is literally like a defense contractor vertical launched by Fox News.
Yeah, of course.
So holy anyway, shit. Look, I mean, it's cool that they established that it's a non-lethal option. That's
yes,
very important.
And I'm
to
glad
say.
They gave us some suggestions.
Also, I'm pretty sure it's a, I'm pretty sure lethal. It's a fucking lethal option. Yeah. If you just shot that huge jug of water.
Right.
At a
That's
person.
Why it is absurd where they were like, well, you know, you could make it more deadly by putting sand in.
Hey, what if instead of, what if instead of a jug of water, we just use a metal ball? They just reverse engineer the cannon.
Yeah, get back to it.
What if we get hit by a metal ball? That'd be messed up.
It's just, I don't, like, what is the lethal option for getting kids out of
you blow up, you just blow up the school.
It's
school.
Like at first we thought you could just like, what do you, what is that? You're just like, oh, you just like chop the kids up. And they're just like, well, that, you're like, oh, well, that's going to be lethal. We can't, you know, we should do fire water jugs through the wall.
Cause like, they're going to need a lot of these jugs to get anything to make it right. So like, you're going to have like one of one of the Deer Park trucks going like, but it's all like.
All
like,
just
like
jugs of
like
water.
Punisher logoed out, right? Because it's like militant, like paramilitary police is who that's going to be at that point.
This is, you know, like an active shooter is already happening. That's not how you say that, but whatever. And so at this point, hypothetically, the fucking police and like emergency response team has arrived.
Yeah.
Instead of going into the building to eliminate the active shooter, they're going to methodically shoot holes into the walls of every classroom.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
Evacuate kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because the active shooter will have no idea what's going on.
I'm sorry, what
the
part
entire
of this
building,
are you confused about?
Yeah, the entire building won't be shaking. They just take out like a load bearing column, and the whole school falls down.
So this is not coming across as foolproof to you. This is
I'd go as far as to say this is pretty stupid.
It's like, I would say this is foolhardy. Actually, I would go the opposite.
I think you should be able to at least spell the weapon that you are using.
Yeah, one out of four times.
Yeah. At least once.
Yeah, the best thing is like the best thing about this video.
It's not even like
it's not hard.
Also, it is a cannon, and you are a weapons correspondent.
Yeah.
You go to learn to spell.
You go
cannon.
To like murder trade shows, whatever yeah. that thing was. I think
yeah, like, at the Air Force Base where they were doing
McGill Air Force Base McGill outside Air Force McGill Air Force Base.
This is
I-95.
What if you just like put like a spike like, on the end of the jug?
Yeah. At this point, just fucking put the cannon in the classroom and load the kids into it and just fucking shoot them through the wall.
Like, yeah, like, kids, every
you know those windowless cinder block schools that we all went to?
Yeah.
Every teacher should have their own pneumatic cannon. That, because you know, like teachers definitely don't get their stuff fucked with by kids.
No.
So that yeah. seems very
And
safe
if there's one thing really... kids don't like, it's fucking
potato
trebuchet
guns.
Yeah. Cannons.
Well, that's, I mean, the real tragedy is if the class was particularly thirsty that day and you drank too much of the
oh,
water
no.
and you don't You're have the, you don't forever. Have the mass to, unless you have all that sand.
We're gonna have to use the propane tank.
Yeah. Oh no.
That's the lethal option. Like, well, look. So
I'm gonna read so much more Fox Firepower now.
Yeah, it's
after
pretty
knowing
good.
What this
it's pretty good because it's like a lady who like you know she's actually like a correspondent because she has like zero. There's like it's none of this Fox News like typical
no.
like yeah. you know.
This is a deep page on the Fox website. Yeah. Like that is she is not getting.
There's none of like
page.
The gloss
she's
or sheen.
Real deep web.
She's not rehearsed at all. It's all delivered very strangely. Maybe these are the best takes. Maybe there were a lot of takes. I doubt it though. Nobody spell checked the fucking thing. It's the weirdest produced video I've seen in a while because they just have words like erupt, adapt, attack. Like it's like,
and there was a little gun cocking noise when any word would come yeah. up. I don't yeah. know if you noticed. It was very.
Well, the weirdest, but terrorism is on the rise, so we're going to shoot those at the bad guys too.
My favorite thing is when she talks about how it was either developed or tested at McGill Air Force Base, and they have the words McGill Air Force Base like swoop onto the screen. I'm like, this only looks like you're hosting a fucking car show at McGill Air Force Base. Like, there's no reason to do that with the name. It's a great video. I highly recommend
everybody
it.
Everybody check it out.
Yeah.
I think we did it, guys.
I think we did do it. We did go a little over, but hey, that's more content for you guys.
Yeah,
so
you
pipe
animals.
Down, you little pigs.
Gobble it up,
you
filthy
little
pigs.
Gobble
rats.
It up.
You filthy little rats.
You love it, you. Just a meltdown that ends the show. Yeah. That ought to hold them just complete. Yeah, so that's, I don't know, that's it, I guess. We, you know where we are and all the stuff. We got the bonus episodes every week on Patreon that we're really pumped about the level of, you know, involvement there. We got the Discord,
yeah.
which is super fun. We'll have the link in there. People are, you know, getting to know each other and stuff in there, which is kind of cool. We have like a little community
yeah.
going.
Oh, yeah, somebody in Discord just got married today.
Hey!
So Tupperward.
Happy
hey, man.
Marriage, Tupperware.
Yeah, yeah.
Good
yeah.
marriage,
Good
sir.
Marriage to you.
Good marriage, sir.
Folks.
The classic expression that we all know.
We're all tipping our fedoras.
Yeah, we're all doing great. You won internet for you on the day of your marriage.
On your epic bacon day of
That's
marriage.
Correct.
Ooh, that hurt.
I hope all your really favorite hurt. Characters were there.
Yeah. They're all coming in for a big party.
That's yeah, Game Master Anthony's wedding.
Yeah.
All my favorite characters came and fucked my wife.
No. Game Master Anthony is too pure for that kind of content. All right. So, yeah. So, we're on, you know, like I said, Patreon/WhatATimePod. We're on Twitter, Instagram at WhatATimePod as well. WhatATimePodcast@gmail.com if you want to send an email. I'm at Patty Moe on the stuff. We got Karma every Friday. And that's really it for me. So, okay, bye.
I have, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, I have a show tonight at the Knitting Factory at 9. So come watch that. I also, if you live in New York, I'm throwing a big fun party at Mayday Space with all my favorite characters. With all my favorite characters, a big fun party at Mayday Space in Bushwick. It's a benefit for the DSA Street Medics Working Group. It's a comedy show at 7 and then a dance party at 9. So come do that. It's $5 to get in. All the proceeds from the admission and the bar are going to that working group. It'll be a good time. All my favorite characters will be there.
Yeah. For me, yeah, like the normal stuff, follow me on Twitter, whatever. If you watch Twitch stuff, I haven't been able to as much lately, but I Twitch at twitch.tv Chili's Restaurants. And also on the 22nd of this month, the Friday at 10 p.m. at Union Hall, I'm doing a show called Shit Arcade that Mike Drucker, who's very funny, runs, where me and some other comics, one of the guys from Giant Bomb, we play really, really terrible video games and make fun of it. And I think that's going to be fun. So if you want to come to that,
That's that.
Cool.
So that's our stuff. We're going to keep the kids safe with water jugs. And yeah.
See you next time.
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye.